And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In our Old Testament reading, in our Old Testament reading this morning, we have a bit of a Star Wars moment. Because if you think of the order of the books in the Old Testament, you know, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Well, Kings, Chronicles, if it was a box set of Star Wars, there'd be sort of box set one and box set two. And then there's a gap. And then Star Wars, the movie in 3D, comes out a few weeks ago. And so we get Kings, Chronicles, there's a gap, and then we get Ezra and Nehemiah, which talks about what happens when the Jews return from their exile. And there's that gap in proceedings, which you don't actually see when you read the Bible, because the last verses of Chronicles are the beginning verses of Ezra, and they come kind of next to one another. But it's a gap of several hundred years. And the story we had this morning is when Nehemiah is having the law read to the assembled crowds. Nehemiah's a kind of an interesting character. Cyrus, the king of Babylon, about 538 BC, agrees that the Jews can return to Jerusalem. Those that have been taken into exile, they can go back. And over the period of the next 100 years or so, people trickle back. Some would go quickly and some would take a bit longer. And the story of Nehemiah is that when the people go back and under Ezra, the temple is rebuilt, which is momentous. But then Nehemiah, who has got a prominent position to the then king of Babylon, Artaxerxes, so he's his cuptaster, cupbearer, so he tastes stuff before the king does, so he doesn't die. But quite an important position, especially if you're the king. You don't want to. You might as well have somebody else die for you. Nehemiah is quite an important individual. He hears news from his brother Hanani, who's back in Jerusalem, that actually things are not really going terribly well. And so Nehemiah then goes to the king and says, can I go back and rebuild the walls? Which he goes back, spends about 12 years there, nips back to Babylon, and then comes back to Jerusalem and rebuilds the walls. And there's quite a lot of opposition, political opposition, just opposition from various factions. A couple of characters that you're probably familiar with called Sanballat and Tobiah, try to undermine the work, try to say he's doing things that he isn't. But eventually the walls are rebuilt. And that's how we often remember Nehemiah, as the man who got the walls rebuilt in Jerusalem. But actually, today's story is, if not as important, probably more important than getting the walls rebuilt. Because we hear that he gets Ezra the scribe to read from the law, and just how the Jews refound the law in the time of Ezra. They're opening an old squeaky door and they find the scrolls of the law. And these are the scrolls that Nehemiah is now having rediscovered them some time ago, is having them read, and there are people there explaining what it means. And we're not quite sure what it means when it says people are explaining what it means. Were they explaining, as in a sermon, this is what it means? Or were they just, frankly, translating from Hebrew into the language that people had then understood? Because they'd been, 200 years or so in exile, and it's not necessarily certain that everybody would still be speaking the language of the Jews in that sense. So were they just saying, like doing a translation, or were they doing more than that? We don't know. But what is clear is that through that explanation and through that pronunciation of the law, through the proclamation that happened, post-exilic Judaism was formed. And that then forms the basis for rabbinic Judaism and the Judaism that we largely have today. So it was a fundamental time in the history of the Jews. But it's also fundamental for us as Christians, because without that proclamation, without that happening at the Watergate, without that happening in Jerusalem, there is a sense in which there would not have been a coherent Jewish faith into which Jesus could step and expand to say, this is what it really means as we talk about our God and as God is revealed in the world to all nations, not just to the Jews, but to all nations, which was in some way the mission that the Jews had been given in the first place. And so without that, and without that base of post-exilic Judaism, we might not be here today. Nehemiah mixed action and proclamation. And we know, if you read on in the end, to the end of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a very good and generous governor. He became governor and actually made sure that, you know, the poor and the needy had everything that they needed. He was very compassionate. He paid for it. It doesn't look as if he took a salary as the governor. He just paid from it, from his own wealth. But he made sure that everybody in Jerusalem had what they needed. He looked after the poor. He was able to mix his real sense of strength of religion and the ceremonial with compassion and care. And politics and ethics mixed with religion for Nehemiah. Proclamation and action. Action and proclamation. A significant character in the history of our faith. And we see a similar model of proclamation and action when Jesus is in the synagogue. It's clear that Jesus, from the reading, it's clear that Jesus was a regular attender at the synagogue. They'd have the first reading, which was typically a reading, was a reading from the law. And then they would have a second reading from typically the prophets. And somebody would be invited, they'd have a kind of a rota to do the readings. And it was Jesus' turn to read from the prophets. When you were given that role, generally it was up to you what you chose to read. Looks like Jesus was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he opens it up, and he reads the verses. And he talks about, I've come to proclaim good news, to set prisoners free, to heal the sick, and to proclaim the day of the Lord. That is the day when everything is returned to its rightful owner. And then he goes and sits down, which was unusual, because normally when you'd just given that a little exposition or read from the book of the prophets, you'd give a little sermon. And he doesn't do that, which is why it says in our reading, and all the eyes were on Jesus, because it's like, no, you don't do that. You know you don't do that. You know you don't just sit down. And it's as if Jesus is saying, actually, this doesn't need any explanation. Work it out. This is what's happening. I am the reality. I am the working out. I am the explanation of those scriptures. That's why I went and sat down. But they don't get it. So they're looking at him and saying, and, you know, come on. And instead of some lengthy discourse, he just says, yeah, this is happening today. This has come true. But in what Jesus says, again, he mixes that proclamation with action. He just doesn't say stuff. He does stuff as well. And actually for Nehemiah, but especially for Jesus, what you see in the New Testament is that there is often proclamation and action followed by an outcome of some sort, a reaction, something that happens is the outworking of what he has said and what he has done. And in next week's reading, we see what the result and the reaction is from what he's just said. And in Nehemiah, you know, he was a man of proclamation and action, and there was tremendous opposition, especially from these, you know, Sambalat and Tobiah. And then Tobiah, interesting character, once the walls are rebuilt, a few years later, he wheedles his way into a big storeroom that was used for offerings. And that's when Nehemiah comes back, finds out what's going on, and chucks him out and says, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But huge opposition, reaction, and continuing trying to undermine, in some cases, what's going on. You know, there was that action and that proclamation and action, which ended up in, there was a response. You couldn't not respond to something that Jesus said or did. There was always that response. But as we look at both Jesus and Nehemiah, it's interesting that Jesus too, in the words he speaks from Isaiah, specifically talks about care and compassion for the poor. That's another thing that sort of links them together. But if you look at that, the proclamation and the action, certainly for Jesus, but generally for many of the people we read about in the Bible and the prophets, it's not an empty proclamation or set of actions. It's based on a deep, deep conviction that they have. We know that Nehemiah was probably a devout Jew. He must have been, because when he receives news from Hanani, he says, no, this isn't the way God intended it to be. This isn't why we've been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. There was a deep, deep conviction that that wasn't the way it should be. With Jesus, we see that deep, deep conviction too of, this world is not the way my Father intended it to be. He wasn't speaking empty words. He wasn't speaking social policy. He was speaking out of a deep conviction that this was not the way things God intended it to be. But also for Nehemiah, but also for Jesus, that conviction came because of that, a deep relationship and an intimate relationship that each of them had with the Father. With Nehemiah, it was through the law and the community of the Jews. With Jesus, it was because of the relationship he had with the Father. I and the Father are one. There could be no closer relationship, and in that sense, there could be no closer community than Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. Their convictions came from that fundamental relationship and that deep and meaningful relationship with the Father. And so today's readings challenge us on two fronts, really. One is, what are the convictions that we have? What are the things that God is laying on our hearts that we should be speaking out about? What are the things that we should be taking action about? And as Paul said in his letter to Corinthians, that will be different from each one of us. We're not all the same. That which fires one of us up isn't the same that will fire somebody else up. But what are the convictions that we have where God is prompting us through his Son Jesus to take action, to say something? We look at Holocaust Memorial Day, which we remember on the 27th of January, this week coming. And the theme this year is Don't Stand By. And as we look back on those events, those horrendous atrocities that happened then, but since then, we know that some of that happens because people stand by and don't speak out. Sometimes we know that's because they are just so afraid to speak out. But sometimes too, it's because people are indifferent to speaking out. And the challenge that we have is, what are those things where God is calling us to speak out and to take action in our world, because we see that they are not the way that God intended us, his people, and his creation to be. But there's perhaps a deeper challenge as well, and that is that as those convictions come from a relationship that we have with God, the challenge is, what is the depth of our relationship with God? What are we doing to grow and develop that in order that God can speak to us as he spoke to Nehemiah's heart, as he spoke through Christ? How do we develop our relationship day by day with Christ in order that God can lay those convictions on our hearts so that we too can speak out, we can take action, so that through us the world can respond to the love that God offers through proclamation and action, driven by conviction based on a relationship that each one of us has with God. Amen.